Welcome to Good Calls with Dean Blandino, a production of iHeartRadio.
Hey, what's up? Dean Blandino. Welcome to another episode of Good Calls. Again, doing the Zoom thing. Travis is in his backyard. I got to see your backyard. I've been to your place, but I've never seen your backyard. Your backyard looks nice.
Yeah, you're welcome to come over anytime feel comfortable. And
I feel comfortable.
Yeah, I'm good with that. Come on over.
Okay, you're fine? All right, good. Yeah. I'm coming over. And Joe with the background, that's Hermosa Pier. I miss the Hermosa Pier. Joe, what's up?
I'm dreaming of better days. Let's get back there. Quit soon. Let's do this.
Hopefully we'll be back there soon. Let's get into some stuff that's going around, obviously, around the country with the NFL. Practice facilities are starting to open for small groups. What's going on there, Travis, with just opening some of these facilities? And then I know we've got a couple of things. Troy Vincent, Senior Vice President, or Executive Vice President of Football Operations, talking about the NFL planning to play in front of full stadiums until medical community tells us otherwise. That just feels like a stretch right now.
Seems like a stretch, but as of what we're going through right now, you got some teams, Cowboys, Falcons, Texans, Cardinals, Chiefs, and Colts all opening up their facilities. Not for players yet, for team personnel. They're opening up, getting things back going as normal. Players who are going through rehab can be in the facilities right now, but we're not going to see any players at the facility starting to work out. We're a long ways away from that still, but things opening up is a step in the right direction. Not full stadiums yet, that's for sure.
Yeah, the full stadiums just seems like a stretch. You see some of the sports that are starting up, and obviously football is still a couple of months away, but it's getting closer. But the sports that are happening, you're not seeing full stadiums, obviously. You're seeing social distancing and guidelines in place and no crowds and things like that. So
I think maybe what's behind that, though, is just, an optimistic, point of view. Like, we have to prepare as if they're going to be full stadiums. Is that what he meant by, you think?
I appreciate the optimism. And again, the medical community, it's going to come down to public health and safety. It's going to, and I think you just, right, we're going to err on the side of caution. We've been doing that throughout this whole deal. And, we're still, it was interesting, going to place over the weekend, and we'll talk a little bit more about that later, but being in Arizona over the weekend, it feels like a different world in Arizona right now than compared to California. Going into a mini mart at a gas station, and you wouldn't have thought anything was different prior to, it was like pre-corona environment.
People had the plexiglass up, but other than that, it's pretty normal, pretty dang normal over there.
No, there was no plexiglass.
Yeah, at the AMPM, there was plexiglass.
No, when I went into that, I went into the mini mart at the gas station. There was no plexiglass.
That's right. You went to the other one. Yeah,
right there. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
The guy other behind one the down counter. The street,
yeah.
People in front of me, like it was as if Corona had not happened.
And it's an interesting dynamic there because you're right on the border of Arizona and California. So you cross one street and everyone's wearing masks there, and you go to the other side of the street and it's just free for all. It's pretty wild.
It's definitely different. And obviously each state has its own guidelines. And I think, here in California, then I get back to California and I go to Rite Aid and I got my mask on and I'm in there and practicing the whole social distancing thing. And so again, still a ways away, but I can't envision week one, September, that Thursday night, there being a packed house. I don't envision that happening, but I do think we're going to play and I do think we'll have football on time, at least NFL football. Colleges are going to be, like I said, a bigger challenge with getting, because you got to get kids back on campus, you got to get them reacclimated, and then you have to, then you have to get them going. They call it a acclimatization, I guess, is the term. Reclimatization is the term that they're using. So,
they're really utilizing this pandemic to really create some really big words, and I appreciate that.
Oh, there's a whole vocabulary there is, we have created, like I, now I don't think, and I think we're always going to see part of this. You're seeing, I mean, I watched an Amazon commercial and the guy, they were talking, the Amazon delivery guy, and, you know, kudos to those people, not just essential workers and everybody else, delivery people, garbage people, everybody, sanitation workers. But the whole commercial is just him with a mask. And it's just, you know, you stop at McDonald's and or you go to a drive-thru and they've got masks and gloves. And it is definitely created a different environment with what's going on.
Well, part of me, even like, you know, years down the road, if they're still wearing masks and gloves at restaurants, like, that's fine. They're handling food. It's probably safer and better anyways.
I don't have a problem. If the new normal is I got to put on a mask when I go to the grocery store, okay, I'm fine. Like I can deal with that. That's not a big deal. I don't think if you told me I had to wear a mask in a restaurant and sit down and have a meal with friends or family and wear a mask and then, and they, you know, chew my food, whatever, I won't go to restaurants. I'm not going to go to a bar wearing a mask. If I'm going to go to a bar or a place, you know, to wear a mask, I'm going to go rob the place. Like it's not, I don't know. Like, I don't know how you guys feel, but I'm not going to a restaurant with a mask. So if you told me I can't go without a mask, I'm just not going to go. I'm not going to be an ass. And like these people that you see in these viral videos where they've never been told no before in their life and they can't imagine somebody telling them not to sit in that booth because of social distancing. Deal with it, abide by the guidelines. But if the guideline is wear a mask in a restaurant, I'm not going.
Yeah, I'm probably not going to go. I'm all for takeout. At this point with a toddler, I don't want to go anywhere near a restaurant. That little girl throwing food everywhere, it's just uncomfortable.
What about you imagine getting a table for 10 people? You know, yeah, you, your right. wife and your 10 and your 8 kids. Like, I don't know
we
how.
We both jumped
you know,
on that. So we were
where just, do you go?
Who got in first? That we were fighting exactly. for that one.
So yeah, Troy Vincent spoke to Peter King, a couple of interesting quotes, on a couple of fronts, Travis, what was that all about?
Yeah. The first one, during a conference call where he talked to Peter King, he said the Rooney Rule changes, sounded like he said the facts are broken. We have a broken system. He says, do I take it personally? Yes, I do. It's my responsibility as a professional athlete, as a man of color, as someone who bleeds the National Football League. Bleeds football. It's part of our responsibility to continue what we believe is right for our game. I'm one of the team members in this relay race. So he's clearly upset about it. And you know, Troy, you worked with him really closely.
Yeah, I've known Troy for a long time and you know, consider him a good friend. And this is, I know he really cares about this. You look at his, you know, having played in the league, you know, was the head of the NFLPA at one point, then an executive with the league, first in player engagement, and now with football operations. And being African American, this is a big deal for him, and for him to say the system is broken. Obviously, no one has been closer to it than him. And you have to look at the numbers and look at the minority coaching hires or front office hires in the history of the NFL, and you don't, you know, you have, it is broken. And so what is the solution? I don't know what the solution is. That's why they're trying different things and trying to have conversations. Draft compensation, you know, that was something they talked about. If you hire a minority head coach and do, you know, you move up draft picks, that becomes a competitive thing. It also, that got a lot of backlash, you know, African-American coaches and former coaches, Marvin Lewis came out. And said that wasn't something that he would have been in favor of. So it is broken. What are the solutions? You know, more minority owners, but that's not how many people have the money in their bank account to buy an NFL
team.
Well,
I mean, we had A-Rod and J-Lo. They tried to buy the Mets recently, and that fell through because they didn't have the money.
Yeah. So this is an exclusive group
right.
of people that can afford NFL franchises. And NFL franchises continue to, there isn't, and I don't think there's an NFL franchise that is valued less than $1 billion. If there is, it's just under $1 billion.
Right.
And when you talk about the franchises like the Cowboys that are what, 5 billion, something ridiculous. And so again, very exclusive group. There are not a lot of minority owners across all of sports. And so what, You know, how do you fix that? People talk about litigation. You know, do you have to sue? This is, you know, that is the courts, right? That's the great equalizer in this country at times. And it's just not an easy topic. I don't know what the answer is. I think it's just more networking. It's more, you know, continuing the conversation and just trying to get, you know, trying to get opportunities for minority coaches. And if it's fellowships, if it's internships, if it's things like that, that can help them get to a point. Because right now, when you look at the head coaches in the NFL, the majority, I think it's 70%, have come from the offensive side of the ball. So you've either been a quarterback's coach or you've been an offensive coordinator. So that, and when you look at those positions currently now in the league, there's very few people of color in those positions. And so that's a problem, right? So we're not doing anything to create a sustainable pipeline. If those positions are continue to be filled by white coaches. And again, I think that's where Troy's coming from.
My question, those meetings are all private, and why do you believe that those discussions were made public, and why is this information out there? Like, who does this benefit?
Oh, well, that gets leaked. That gets leaked. It's someone, you know, and it's just when that type of stuff gets leaked, it's somebody wants to put pressure on the membership, on the ownership. And so that's somebody internally that is leaking that information. The NFL has, you know, you create relationships with people in the media, people you trust, and sometimes it's a benefit. There can be a benefit to leaking information if you have people that you trust in the media. Totally. So that stuff gets leaked. There's stuff that gets leaked out of that office all the time, and right. it's just part of doing business.
Right.
What else? But then, kind of switching gears again, Troy talked to Peter King about PI review. There was some really interesting comments there.
Yeah, we talked about last week how, you know, it's not coming back. It's a one and done type rule. You said it all along. You said this is going to be the Duke rule, as you called it, as in basketball players going one and done.
Nice analogy. Thank you for explaining it, Travis.
That was yours, though. I wanted to.
I know, but I appreciate you explaining it at this point. Yes.
Anyway, so he talked about the PI rule. And he said, "We failed. I'm first in line. I shared that with league officials. I failed as the leader of that department. I failed." So
a lot of fails, huh? So look, yeah. The bottom line is
hashtag fail. Are we allowed to say
that? Hashtag fail. And we said this, I'm sure you could go back before the season and we talked about it, right? What was the problem? The problem was creating a rule for one play and pushing it through at the league meeting when the coaches at the league meeting prior to the 2019 season, the coaches were 32-0 for a sky judge concept, right? The competition committee meets, the coaches meet on Monday, you know, or actually they meet on Sunday night. They decide 32-0, they're for a sky judge concept. Then Monday, the competition committee gets together and they end up with a PI proposal. And so now we're playing catch up and we're trying to figure out all the unintended consequences of creating that rule. And we got to see it play out in prime time every week and the ups and downs and the changing standards. And it was just never applied consistently. And it's a subjective call. And so you start with something that's subjective, that's going to be hard to be consistent. And then you're all over the place during the season. Yeah, of course it was a failure. And this isn't, you know, I don't want this to be an I told you so, but the bottom line is we've always, the competition committee, that's why you crawl before you run, you know, to change. It took years before the NFL implemented a 2-point try. It took years before the NFL moved the try from the 2 to the 15 for the kick. You know, it doesn't happen, you know, overnight. And that rule happened. You know, there was a lot of impetus and a lot of push leading up to that league meeting, but it happened overnight.
Yeah, why do you think they didn't do any kind of trials with it like they do with everything else in the preseason?
Here's the deal, okay? And this will be a perfect segue to the next thing we're going to talk about. They went into that league meeting from a PR perspective saying, we have to do something. We have to win the press conference in March. And when you're trying to win a press conference in March, that's not the best strategy to success in September, October, November, December, and January. Okay. They're trying to win. And that's what I worry a little bit about. We talk about the rules changes coming up, right? Your favorite rule proposal, right? The onside alternative now is starting to get some life. It's starting to get back into the news, right? You keep texting. You're like, oh, the onside alternative is back. It's back. Here it is. You know, it's so, right? Why is it back? Okay, let's think about what's happening in the NFL right now, okay? You've got PI review dies a brutal and ugly death after 1 year, okay? You've got minority coaching system, hiring system that is broken. So you need a positive. You need something. You need a win. You need something to say, hey, look, we're being innovative. We're going in and we're going to make this exciting. The onside kick is becoming increasingly hard to execute. We need another opportunity for teams to come back, create exciting finishes. And so, again, we're trying to get a win. It's no longer March because of Corona. Now we're trying to get a win in May. And I just, again, I worry about the unintended consequences of this is a proposal that Philadelphia put forth. And I know that coaching staff well. I know the people involved in this proposal. And I've worked with them and I've seen the language and I've looked at the language and I've given them recommendations. But the bottom line is now when you start to think about, okay, 4th and 15 from the 25, right? Then, okay, what happens with the clock? What happens if there's a foul? Does the offense get to replay that down and try it again? Or is it a one and done? What happens if there was a penalty on the touchdown that the team wants to take on the kickoff? Does now 4th and 15 from the 25, does that penalty move you up or move you back? Does that right. make it a 4th and longer? Right? Think about this. Think about,
I hadn't thought about that.
Right? You know, it's all of these things. Does the clock run? Because on a kickoff, the clock doesn't run until the ball is legally touched. So on this play, are you going to run the clock? And then if they get a first down, you keep the clock running. Well, think about at the end of the game. If I've got 3 seconds, okay, I just scored the go-ahead touchdown with 3 seconds on the clock. Now I take my onside alternative. Rather than risk the kickoff, I take my onside alternative. I get the snap. I roll out to my right. And I throw the ball as high as I can out of bounds and run the 3 seconds off the clock. So now you create that opportunity. There's so many things that go into this that you have to vet out and you have to continue to vet out. Now, I'm not saying this is an overnight deal because last year the Broncos proposed something like this. And so you just have to continue to think about these potential, you know, all the potential what ifs before you vote something in. And what I worry about this, because it's unique, because of Corona, right? You're going to have a league meeting and you're going to have votes taking place with one person from every club. And you're not going to have the same conversation. You're not going to have the same dialogue that you have at a normal league meeting. All right? Because at a normal league meeting, you have two members from each club during those voting sessions. And they're typically somebody from ownership and the head coach for the most part when it's a football deal. And you'll get, and I've been in that room and I've sat there in the front of the room and I've watched it all play out. And they'll, Rich McKay, the head of the competition committee, will explain the rule proposal. I, as the head of officiating, would talk about some different things that we felt were relevant. And then that would be open up for discussion. And, you know, Mike Tomlin could get up and speak, or John Harbaugh could get up or speak, or Stephen Jones could get up and speak. That's not going to happen on this call, right? This is going to be, for the most part, it's either going to be the actual owner or the team president. And they're not going to have that discussion. The head coach is the one that's the football, you know, that's going to understand it the most. And so I just worry about that we could end up with a rule change. And again, be dealing with unintended consequences going forward, because we need something positive. Because PI review and minority hiring are what they are.
And do you think they'll skip that trial again and instead of trying it in the preseason, going straight in, we're doing this rule for a year?
No, this vote, the onside alternative, I would hope they put it in for 1 year. You know, yeah. They put it up for a vote for 1 year. And then, my gut tells me, look, I don't know. I know there was some momentum coming in. I know the league office. There's people at the league office that want this to pass. So when that's the case, it usually gets some legs. My gut tells me I don't think it's going to get 24, but but it could be close. Remember, you need 24 yes votes out of 32, 75% to pass a rule.
Let me throw out an idea, Dean. And I want credit for it if it happens. And it's going to sound ridiculous, but if you really think about it, it's a great idea. Implement it in e-gaming. Because those kids find every way to manipulate anything in those games. And if there's a way to manipulate the clock or a flag or whatever, they'll find it out.
So let's work with Madden. Let's work with EA.
Yeah.
And we'll work with Madden to implement these things. And then we can see all the unintended consequences play out on Madden.
I can't tell if you're being facetious or if you're serious, because I'm dead serious. Like, it would work. Because now with the esports, the games count. Like, it matters. People are betting thousands of dollars on this stuff. Like, it's a real deal.
Yeah, I think I'm all for it. Let's go. Let's do it. That can be the training ground. I think we should try player safety rules in Madden then. Let's see, you know, what player safety. We don't want those
digital players
to be at unnecessary risk. We want to
protect Joe's
them.
Idea, remember?
I came up with one great idea.
From virtual concussions and virtual ACLs. So I agree.
Okay, thank you.
My favorite video game injury was NHL 93, yes. I think they might have taken the blood out in 94, but 93, when you could hit the guy and then he'd fall on the ground and the blood would just pool on the ice.
Remember they did it? It was on Swingers.
At Swingers, yeah.
Yeah, and that was insane. That was a great scene in Swingers too. He's like, wait, look at little Wade's head bleeding here for Superfan number 99. So...
Let's move on to some other rule proposals.
Yeah, so here's one. Look, they're always right. We got to get a player safety rule change in. This is probably the least impactful player safety rule change in 100 years. This is, they're giving the kick returner defenseless.
Since the last pandemic, sorry.
Right? Yeah, exactly. So, during the Spanish flu, the forward pass was outlawed. But so... they're giving a kick returner. So I'm a punt returner, right? And the rule said that I was protected under the defenseless player rule. I couldn't be forcibly contacted in the head or neck area, and you couldn't lower your head and initiate forcible contact with the helmet to any part of my body. I was protected until I actually caught the ball. A receiver who's trying to catch a pass is protected until they catch the ball and have the ball long enough to protect themselves. So it's a little bit longer. So we're basically making the receiver, the protection the receiver gets, and giving that, extending that to the kick returner. Well, guess what? That's how it's been officiated for as long as I can remember, right? For as long as I can remember, if a kick returner caught the ball with 2 feet and then got blasted in the hair neck area, we had 3 flags down, all right? Mm-hmm. Because that was a hit on a defenseless player. So we're just making how the rule has been applied. We're making the rule book basically be in line with that. So not a significant change, but we'll create that player safety. We're adding the player safety. So if we can get the onside alternative and we can get the kick returner added to defenses, so we've got some positives that we can put together, put that press release out, and we can win that press conference. So, you know, because look, Sky Judge isn't happening, right? That's not going to be, you might get a preseason experiment. There's two types, right? Booth umpire, senior technical advisor to the referee, the star, will probably have a preseason experiment. But guess what? When the games count and there's a big pass interference call missed, or there's something else that a sky judge or a star or booth umpire could help fix, the rules are going to say that, no, that's not allowed. And so, again, we're going into the season 2018 style, and we all know what happened in 2018 in the NFC Championship game. We ended up with PI review. It's like we're going full circle. And sometimes I worry that you know, we sit there and we say we failed, and then we do the same shit. And somebody's got to step up and figure it out. And, you know, I don't know. It's not me, but whatever. Get a little fired up there. So Travis got a little excited about Jason Whitlock now. I didn't see it, Travis, and I guess this was on Speak for Yourself.
Yeah.
And Travis was like, oh my God, in his Travis voice, that whenever Travis sends me a text message, I do the white guy. I'm like, hey, dude, oh my God, this is so cool. Jason Whitlock had a rule proposal, you know, that would be. So Travis, explain what Jason's idea was. Or what you believe Jason was Jason's idea.
Yeah, so what I thought Jason's idea was inside 2 minutes, if the offense didn't gain a yard, the clock would stop. Then, you know, this would mean that victory O, kneel downs would essentially be null. You couldn't run out the clock with it. And then you said you shot it down. And I think it's a cool idea.
No, I'm not shooting it down. I'm not shooting it down.
Okay, yeah. So it wasn't Whitlock's idea.
But that was the Arena League for however many years the Arena League was in existence. So it's it's not sliced bread. It's just
most of these rules have been tried in all these other leagues, and then the leagues disappear.
Yeah,
people like me who didn't watch the Arena Football League, I'm sorry. You know, I don't remember that. But you, who is the rules guru, that's why I come to you with these things.
Exactly.
Gives us stuff to talk about.
But I'm glad that they're having the discussion and they're thinking of things to kind of fix. You know, that was something we talked about at the XFL. We went through, we ultimately landed on the 5 second hold on plays, inside of 2 minutes. But we talked about that, you know, the Arena League where you had to, you know, if you don't gain yardage, the clock is going to stop. And so it incentivizes teams to attempt to gain yardage. It eliminates the kneel down altogether because there's no benefit to it. And clock rules are interesting. You want to, the whole goal, when you look at clock rules, right, it's to conserve plays in the critical juncture of the game, because if you can conserve plays, then you give the offense that's behind the opportunity. More plays means more opportunities to come back, and more opportunities to come back means closer games, more exciting finishes. And that's what we want. And so that's why, look, the onside alternative, I'm not opposed to the concept. I just think it's gimmicky. I think it comes with a whole host of problems. And look, this isn't, when you talk about player safety, nobody knows. They have not vetted out all the data, the injury data, to say that a 4th and 15 play is more safe than an onside kick. Nobody knows. So it's just, you can't sit there and say this is a player safety change. And look, the onside kick, the chance is there. Look, when your team's behind and they're lining up for an onside kick, do you not get excited? Is that not a play that excites you? Hey, I know it's like Joe back in the day when he saw the girl that was way out of his league, and you'd see Joe go up to her. We knew the chance was minor, very
you're
little.
So excited,
but we're excited for him, right?
That's
we're excited.
Analogy.
He's got a less than 10% chance to make this happen, but we're excited. And then when the 10% hits, it's the greatest thing ever. Like it's amazing. But you know,
that's just me.
That's just how I think.
It's like going to Vegas and think you're going to win at the casino or something, right?
Just stick with Dean's analogy. Thanks, Trev.
Exactly.
Well, I was just trying to segue to the next segment where we're going to talk about Vegas.
We're going to break.
Vegas opening back up.
Yes, there you go. We'll do that after break. All right. Next on Good Calls, Vegas Travis will talk to us all about Sin City. What's coming up next? All right, we're back on Good Calls. Before the break, Travis was all excited. He was telling us about Vegas, and Vegas is opening up. I don't know if you know this about Travis, but he goes to Vegas like once every, I don't know, 6 years.
That's about accurate.
But when he goes, it's like balls out. Like there's no stopping him. So we started nicknaming him Travis, Vegas Travis, okay, VT. So VT, tell us what's happening with Vegas.
Some of that's true. Some of that's from a past life about Vegas Trav. I think the last time I was there, I was with my wife. We stayed at the South Point. You guys probably never even heard of that. It's a family establishment.
The only Travis.
Anyway.
Only Travis. Is like, remember our trip to Vegas, honey, at the South Point and the buffet? Oh, those crab legs were to die for, honey.
They had acoustic music at the pool. It was so nice. Dollar beers. It was lovely.
The Jimmy Buffett band, the tribute band. Oh, my. Honey, we got to go back.
That sounds nice. That sounds real.
That was one wild weekend.
Our 10-year anniversary, we'll go back.
Joe's over there.
Me
Joe's
and Joe
over
are
there, throwing
the
up.
Rhino and... All right. So what is Vegas? And then let's get to the match.
Anyways, boxing's going to resume in June. They've set some dates for June 9th.
But no fights. Fans, correct?
No fans. Yeah, five fights at the MGM. No fans. So they're taking the same approach as the UFC moving forward. Getting some.
So does that mean the UFC? The UFC can't be far behind back in Vegas. I mean, I'm sure they like, having the control, right? They've been having it in Orlando. But, God, I would hope they'd want to get back to Vegas as soon as possible.
Yeah, you'd think so. I mean, the fights were fine in Florida. At this point, it's like if no fans can be there.
Jacksonville, that's right, not Orlando. Jacksonville, yeah.
If no fans can be there, what difference does it make, though, right?
Yeah, I guess you're right. But, okay, the match. The Brady Mickelson-Manning Woods match, I didn't watch the beginning. I forgot it was on, actually. I was with the kids. And then I watched the last 4 or 5 holes. It was fine. I guess I missed all like the funny stuff because the last 4 or 5 holes, they were just playing golf. Like I liked the pace. They were going quick. It was raining. I thought it was well produced. It was interesting. I liked Charles Barkley, being on it. I thought Justin Thomas was interesting as the basically on the course reporter, and just the interaction, but I mean, it was fine. And I'm not a golf fan and it was fine. I enjoyed it. And, they were hitting good shots. Like Peyton and Brady didn't. I know, I guess Brady kind of stunk it up early on.
Yeah, the front nine, he was pretty bad.
But I guess, when it counted, they were fine. Like they're good golfers. Like they're, I don't golf, so I don't know. But they were, it was fine. I didn't, it wasn't the greatest thing, but people are, today I feel like any live sports is like, you remember the Eddie Murphy bit when I think it was Raw when he talked about not having sex for a while and then it's the best sex you've ever had. And he's like, if you're starving and somebody throw you a cracker, you could be like, God damn, that's the best cracker I've ever had. Right? I feel like that's how we are with live sports right now, right? It's like everything is, oh my God, remember the Mickelson, Brady, blah, 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 live, whatever. That's why I think this Last Dance actually sucked and people just like it because of what's going on right now. I
thought we put that one to bed last week.
Ooh, the fallout though. With the Last Dance fallout. Think about it. Think about what's been happening. Scottie Pippen is pissed. Horace Grant is pissed. Scotty Burrell is pissed. All these Craig Hodges, all these former Bulls are pissed because how this put, they showed Jordan in this light. They said that, oh, he was so, he was driving, like he would put these guys in their place. And these guys are like, no, people would go back in him, but they didn't show any of that stuff. The pizza getting, food poisoning. Right. Now they're saying that's not real. Like this whole thing, like stop. LeBron is better than Jordan now. That's what it's driven me toward.
Jordan said everyone's going to think he was an asshole after watching the documentary. I think only his former teammates think he's an asshole. I don't think anything differently of him, Mike.
Yeah, it is what it is. But, speaking of basketball, though, I'm just happy to report that one of my favorites, and Joe and I talked about it over the weekend, Patrick Ewing is out of the hospital. Yeah. He did have Corona. He's out of the hospital. He's recovering. And so hopefully, everybody, but special recovery prayers to Patrick Ewing. That guy was, I still feel bad that he couldn't, they just win one. If they win one, if Starks doesn't go 2 for whatever it was and 2 for 17 against the Rockets in, yeah.
All right. We come get back with us. Get back with us. You were in a good place. Come on.
Okay. What else is going on? MLB update, Travis. Let's go through the majors other than football. What's
MLB? Facilities are starting to open up for individual workouts. So that's a step in the right direction. You could have all these guys back in their facilities by early June.
But that's still going to come down to that's I think is still going to be the biggest fight in terms of the revenue share, right? I think that's still the biggest hurdle. Obviously the health stuff, but
yeah, players want their full salaries that they were guaranteed and owners want half of the revenue. So
yeah,
they have a ways to go, I feel like.
But I did see, it was interesting. I saw one report, look, that you could get players, if players say, I don't feel comfortable and I don't play, the leagues, they won't stop them. At least baseball won't stop them, but they're not going to get paid. So could you imagine like a Mike Trout sitting out because he doesn't feel comfortable and then not getting paid, but the Angels continue to play? Like, that would be insane.
Like, that would you just have like minor league players come up and play? Is that what
you'd have to field a roster? I don't know.
That would have such a huge impact on the sports gaming world too. Like, that would just be enormous.
It would be, yeah, because then you'd it would be pretty insane.
Bettors would lose it if they're taking the season total overs, or hey, I got this team to win. That's gonna unintended consequences, Dean.
When you bet, you take those risks, right?
That's true.
Injuries always happen with those types of things too, but we all kind of get that. But this,
you take the season over, and then if you take the season over for the Angels and Mike Trout blows an ACL in the third week of the season, guess what? You're screwed.
We know that as bettors. But if Mike Trout says, you know what, I don't want to play because I'm scared I'm going to get a flu, COVID-19 flu, that would really upset me.
The thing that's great is if you bring up these minor league guys who maybe never got a chance because they're sitting behind Mike Trout and they're never going to get a chance to play, those guys are going to come out and prove something. That's awesome.
Here's the positive spin by Travis. Travis, the motivational speaker, the Jim Nelson who's sitting in the Angels minor league, in the minor league organization, who's been sitting behind Mike Trout, who will continue to sit behind Mike Trout until Mike Trout retires. Is now going to get his chance, and he's going to be all world.
Then he's going to get traded to another team.
Dean, think about if Drew Bledsoe would have never got hurt. We could not be watching Tom Brady play golf on Sunday.
Guess who was at the game as the replay official when Drew Bledsoe did get hurt? Who was?
Pereira.
That'd be this guy.
The Dino. Right there.
The start of the Brady era was right in line with the start of the Blandino era. Look what we both accomplished.
Congratulations.
So, I'm in Arizona with Joe on Sunday, and Brady's making millions of dollars playing golf with Tiger Woods.
No, I don't think he made any money that day. I think they donated.
They donated 20 million.
So you actually won that day.
What's that?
You actually won that day.
On that day,
we get to watch our kids have a great time on the water. Fantastic.
I have good days. I can't complain. I've had a good run. I'm happy. All right, let's go. NHL. I like this. They actually approved something.
Yeah, last week they approved Last week they approved the NFL, or so the NHL 2024 team conference-based
format. Do you have reading comprehension problems, Travis? Is there something you're not telling us? Because sometimes I think, sometimes I think you were a special needs child and you worked your way up to this.
You overcame. That's why you're so positive. That's why he's such the positive guy.
You overcame, but every once in a while you slip back because you're squinting. You're like getting real close to the screen. Like, even when we were doing the readings, we were doing the auditions, it was like your acting wasn't great, but your reading was awful. Like, what?
I can't see very well. I need to get glasses. It's a problem.
There you go. All right. So NHL, right, approved a 2014 conference-based playoff format that future negotiations are going to come. They're now opening the facilities to small groups, right? In early June, max of 6 players.
That's right. And this 24 team format's kind of cool because it gives the 4 leaders in each division to bye, and then it'd be a 16 game or 16 team playoff with 5 teams or series of 5.
He's doing it again.
Travis, we got to get you. This is, I'm going to get like some remedial reading, you know, classes. We're going to start. I don't know, like before, when you put your 8 kids to bed and your wife, kiss your wife goodnight, then you and I are going to do a Zoom and I'm going to read to you. Okay. And we're going to go through, we're going to start at like a, you know, Luke is in 3rd grade. He's like, you know, it's like an H, or they do letters now. So we'll start you on like an H, and then we'll work our way up.
I might need to start earlier than that.
All right. So,
very hungry caterpillar.
And then what the heck is going on with the NBA? Are we going to see NBA basketball?
It's hard to say.
Is the NBA done forever?
I can't imagine they're going to be done. No, there's no official update, but they may have, like, there's a report saying there could be a 16 seed playoff format, which would be cool because then they would get rid of the conferences and they would just factor in the 1 through 16 throughout the entire NBA.
It was a struggle just to get that out. It was like, have you been drinking?
He had a glass of wine today. He told me already.
Did you? Like, either that or are you having a stroke? Should we call 911?
I would laugh with you guys, but I'm not sure what's going on.
I think you're in his head, Dean.
So NBA, no official update, but they've been talking about 16.
You know, I heard that Michael Jordan was going to bring the league back. He was going to suit up so that the rest of the league would come back in the
play. There you go. All we want is more Jordan. I'm with Karl Malone on this one. I saw an interview with Karl Malone. You know, he declined to be a part of The Last Dance. And then somebody was interviewing him and they were like, when you hear the words Michael Jordan, what do you think of? And he's like, Michael Jordan, what? Enough Michael Jordan. I don't think nothing special. And I'm like, damn right, Carl.
One thing that was interesting about that show, I know we're past it now, but Carl Malone was huge. He was a giant, dude. When you watch him in that show and kind of compare everybody else, he was a monster.
Carl Malone was a beast. Look, the bottom line is Michael Jordan dominated in an era. If he would have been one era earlier, he would not have dominated. Bottom line. Right. Look, they lost. They got swept by the Celtics 2 years in a row. Right. They lost 3 out of 4 to the Pistons. They never beat the Showtime Lakers. End of story. Move on. All right. College football, SEC. Are we going to see SEC and Big Ten and these big conferences playing football without, some of these smaller conferences having the ability to get back on campus? You know, I know what, Travis, the SEC is resuming voluntary student athletes sometime in June.
June 8th is what they've approved at this point. So we could see it.
I think certainly depending on the states, I think activities might resume. I can't envision college football coming back piecemeal. I just don't see that. I can see certain universities, maybe if certain universities are not having kids on campus and they can't play, but I can't see, you know, a whole conference not being able to play football and college football, you know, continuing that way. So we'll see. And then very importantly, the CPBL or Chinese Professional Baseball League, Your Rocketoon Monkeys lost 2 in a row, Travis. Panic time?
Maybe. Like, my reading skills, it's slipping. You know, like, they're falling apart, maybe, you know?
They still got a 4-game lead in the win column. But losing 2 in a row, you know, that's, I think it's time to panic. I think the Rocketoon Monkeys might be in trouble.
It's a fall from grace that nobody wanted to see, right?
No, I mean, I don't know. Maybe. I'm not sure.
How many games did they play?
I didn't think much about CPBL until Corona, but
yeah. How many games do they play and how many do they have left? Do you know?
Do I need to go back to my PowerPoint from 3 weeks ago?
Yeah, that's, I can't remember. My reading comprehension is no good.
I think it's like an 80 game season. That could be. That's just from memory. I don't have it up. And then lastly, before we take a break, Nationals revealed their World Series rings. Did you see the design? Let me read it.
Well, I saw the story, so I pulled up what I believe is the ring.
Okay. So do you want to describe it, Travis? Are you feeling okay?
I'm not really the now I'm looking at it. It's got Baby Shark on the inside. Yes, what's up with that?
Okay, so here you go. Oh, that's gosh. What that's okay. That's so bad. you have Thank you. So you have, this is the details of the ring. So it has the cursive W logo, has 30 rubies, which represents the 30 runs that they scored in their 4 World Series game victories over the Astros. Okay, cool.
That's cool.
Cool. Surrounding the Nationals logo is a ring of 32 sapphires, which is the sum total of the team's 2019 walk-off wins, shutout wins, longest winning streak, and postseason rounds. Okay? All right, cool. Additional 108 diamonds symbolizing the team's 105 regular season and postseason wins, plus one for the World Series championship and two more in a nod to the franchise's history, the Expos, and the previous version of the Washington Nationals. Okay, great. There are 12 rubies on each end, the team's total number of postseason wins. Great.
Cool.
The ring also depicts some of Washington, D.C.'s most iconic landmarks, with the Roman numerals MMVT placed within the Capitol building to represent the year, 2006, that the Lerner family purchased the franchise. Awesome. Words "fight finished" are featured prominently in diamonds, which was something that they had, the kind of a team motto, stay in the fight. Appearing along the ring palm is the team's mantra, go one zero every day. But the interior of the ring includes a symbol of a shark holding the commissioner's trophy in honor of outfielder Gerardo Pyra's walk-up song, Baby Shark. What the flup is that?
A lot of stuff going on in those rings.
Baby Shark.
I know Travis knows what that is.
You couldn't give an homage to something with the Expos. You couldn't do the Baby Shark as part of your ring.
Well, at least they put it on the inside of the ring, so you don't have to look at it.
It's the Baby Shark.
That's bad. Like that song's so annoying. I will not.
My 5-year-old doesn't even like the Baby
I will
Shark.
Not let my daughter listen to it.
No.
She does. She stopped asking for it because I'm like, no, you're not listening to that.
It's ridiculous.
If you want to have kids that read like I do, let them listen to Baby Shark.
Yeah, hopefully your wife is the one teaching your kids, because I don't want a couple of illiterate kids like you are.
All 8 of them.
All right, let's go to break. When we come back, we'll talk. Is the 3-second rule dead after the pandemic? Next on Good Calls. All right, we're back on Good Calls. All right, I have a serious, serious, important question. This is a rules podcast. I'm a rules guy. I want to ask you guys, after the pandemic, after everything that's happened, when this is all said and done, is the 3-second rule over?
Are you sure it's not the 5-second
rule? Like TI review, is it dead?
Isn't it the 5-second rule, Dean? You're talking about the one where you drop food on the floor?
It's some people say 5. If you look in the Urban Dictionary, it's 3. I've used both. Let's just call it the 3-second rule for purposes.
I'm just making sure that you're not talking about the 3 seconds in the key that Patrick Ewing used to always exploit.
No. We're not talking about that. Okay, but is the concept dead?
Not to me. I'll eat that shit.
I mean, there's certain places if you drop something, you're not going
to
pick it up.
But you got to look at the exceptions to the rule.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
You can look at the rule book. The rule book is made up of sections, articles. In each article, you could have notes. You could have exceptions. There's exceptions, right? If you're at a gas station bathroom, right?
Of course.
The 3-second rule doesn't, whatever hits the floor, it's over.
It's done.
Right. And if you do that in any public bathroom, you're disgusting and you probably, I don't know, you probably shouldn't, I don't even know. I don't even know what you should do or shouldn't do. But a normal, you know, you're at work or you're at home and it hits the floor, are you not adhering to the 3-second rule because of you're worried about now the germs that could cause.
So I think what's going to happen is I think all of these rules are going to have this very strange path to becoming live again. Just for instance, we all hung out this weekend, a bunch of us. And I know, you know, before pre-COVID, you see, you know, one of our friends, hey, what's up? You give him a hug. Now people are like, I don't know really what to do. Are you cool with me hugging you? Are we doing the elbow bump? What are we doing? And I think that all those types of rules are going to kind of people are going to take
so
shape of
their awkward. Own. That the end of the Mickelson deal, the match. Did you see them? They didn't know what to do. It was like a fist bump, yeah, elbow.
Nobody knows what they're doing.
Kind of thing.
I just go in for the hug. Screw it, dude. Like,
let's go in for the hug. I'm fine.
So I, you know,
Travis, when I see you, I'm giving you a big hug.
Travis, I have a really so.
Well, as long as it's been 2 weeks since you hung out with Joe, he seems to.
Travis is, yeah, Joe has his own rules. So here's a three second rule. Okay, 3 second rule is not dead. All right, good.
Travis, here's a funny story from the weekend. We were all sitting on the back of our buddy's porch, and he's got the Hey Google thing. And somebody said, Hey Google, who is Dean Blandino? And it says, Dean Blandino is the XFL head of officiating.
That's true.
That was the first thing that came up.
We all started laughing because it didn't say anything about the NFL. And then we redid it, and then it actually did say, and the former vice president.
What's the most recent thing that's happened to me? I'm the ex head of officiating for the XFL. So
I was really hoping you would say in charge of the Good Calls podcast would have been cool, but
apparently. Joe was shut down. Joe's like competitive guy, right? And there was these younger kids, these kids that are, in their 20s or even younger. One kid was going to Arizona State to play football. Joe thinks he could be an NFL tight end if he were 4 inches taller. So Joe, of course, decided that he was going to run some routes. And he said this kid couldn't stop him. I didn't see it. I just heard about it. But Joe thinks it was clearly defensive holding or illegal contact, and that's why he didn't catch the pass. That's
without question. And it was a terrible pass.
Okay, so Joe's like the diva receiver that because he didn't catch the pass, it was the quarterback's fault and it was the official's fault.
Well, first of all, the pass was – nobody would have caught the pass. Secondly, the dude shoved me down about 8 yards downfield. Like shove – this guy was – he was so big, Travis, I was calling him fake Gronk. He was all tall and buff. And still, I went right past him, and then he shoved me down.
I didn't see it.
Well, I told him, I said, listen.
But there was a controversy. Joe cheated. What's the name of that game, Joe?
Which game?
The Frisbee game? The Frisbee game.
I don't know the name of it. I think it does have a name, but I don't know. You throw a Frisbee at a PVC.
It's some, Travis, you would love it because it's some super white people shit.
It's a fun game. You loved it. Get over. You love that.
I do. I do. I like the game, but Joe and
how did I cheat? This is news to me.
You put too much water in the can.
Oh my God. You're really going there?
So it's like two PVC pipes. You put the pipe in the water, in the sand.
Okay.
And you put a beer can on top of the PVC pipe. You put some water in it so the wind doesn't blow it over.
Right.
And you're like, I don't know, 15 feet apart, 20 feet apart. And you have two people on each team and you have a Frisbee. And you play to 21 and you throw the, you have to have a can in your hand, any kind of beverage can. And you throw the Frisbee and you have to knock the other team's can off into the water. You can hit the pipe or you can hit the can itself. The other team has to catch your Frisbee if it doesn't hit the pipe or the can. You can catch the can out of the air before it hits the water. And the way you score points is the team doesn't catch the Frisbee, that's one. You hit the pipe and the can hits the water, that's two. You hit the can and it hits the water, that's three. And you play to 21.
Sounds fun.
Yeah, it is fun. And who was on your team, Joe? I forget. It was you,
Esteban.
And yeah. So they basically, we beat them the first game and they were all upset. And
that's not
then,
true. We
no, they
won
beat
the, first,
us the
game.
First game. They beat us the first game and they were like, they were beating everybody and they were the champs and blah, blah, blah. And then me and this guy, Ed, came in. Like I played the game once in my life and we came in and just dominated them. Like beat them like bad.
Okay.
And so Joe was all upset. And then we had the rematch and they won, but they cheated because they filled their can up with so much water that even if you hit the pipe, it wasn't falling.
So sounds pretty sketchy.
There's not actually there. That's a judgment call. There's not like an actual percentage of the can that can be full. And by the way, you guys, we smoked you guys. It wouldn't even, you could have put.
No, it was a good game. There was some high level stuff going on. Right
it was
there.
A high level game. I will give you that. You played that game well.
I'd love to know what it's called.
I'll get the name for you. And I think we should have Dean write like an official rule book for that game.
I think that might not be a bad idea. Come up with a name and I'll write the rules.
All right.
Let's do it. I want to play.
Oh, and then
about that game, I guarantee I'll beat both of you at it.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, it is a game I think Travis would, he's, like I said, it's a very white game. And Travis likes white people stuff.
But Travis wouldn't make it because you're in the sun and he would be sunburnt 15 minutes into the game with that.
No, he definitely.
I would have sunscreen or layers on. Yes, that's true. One of
those rash guard shirts on.
Travis would need SPF shirt. He would need the right gear.
Long sleeve rash guard. Yes.
One of those Steve Irwin hats.
Totally see him. Head to
water
toe.
Shoes.
He'd be in a exactly. All right. So,
hazmat suits are in right now.
Anything good you guys are watching?
I watched Lovebirds the other night on Netflix. It's a new movie out that was supposed to go to theaters. And I'm glad it didn't go to theaters because I would have been disappointed if I had to pay money for it. It was entertaining a bit, but...
Who's in it?
It's that dude from... I'm blanking on the name. Silicon Valley. Is he the Indian guy?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
What's his name? He's in there. He's great. And then there's a a black comedian she's in. I can't remember her name. She was good too. But
Travis, I mean, you like learn somebody's name. The Indian guy and then this black comedian. And there's, you know, who's next? This Asian chick. Like what? Travis, what are you doing?
I can't remember their names. I'm sorry.
I was doing the best I could.
Unbelievable.
You know what I've been watching, Dean, is... It's Detail on ESPN Plus.
And oh, yeah, you told me about
Kobe,
that. You
Kobe
like that.
Bryant created it or whatever, and he started with basketball. But they got Daniel Cormier on there breaking down different fighters. Super interesting. Mm-hmm. Really cool to watch if you're a fight fan.
Daniel Cormier is really smart. He obviously, you know, he does commentary. He did it when he was with us at Fox Sports and now ESPN and does it UFC fights. And I'll check it out.
Yeah, just in case you don't know, Travis, Daniel Cormier is the big black dude that fights and beats people up. Just so you know,
that's how Travis would.
Good to know. I know which guy you're. I know which guy you're talking about.
All right.
Yeah. Unbelievable, Travis. All right. Let's go to Brita Blandino. Worst times to sneeze.
Now.
Okay.
Anytime now.
I thought that
people.
Was appropriate. Yeah.
No,
that was
no.
An appropriate one.
So I'm not thinking about that. Yeah. Sneezing. But think about, okay. So I was brushing my teeth and I sneeze. Does that ever happen to you?
No.
When you brush your
horrible
teeth.
Time.
It's horrible. You spray toothpaste all over the mirror. It's awful. So it got me thinking like, what are some other bad times to sneeze?
When you are first meeting
kiss,
someone.
Going in for a first kiss.
That's a good one.
That's a good one.
When you're eating, like in the middle of a chew or a bite.
What would be bad food to sneeze? Soup would be bad.
Soup would obviously be, yeah. You know what
would really be bad?
Bad foods to sneeze would be like sushi. Because you'd have rice and raw fish just fly all over the place.
Oh.
And possibly some wasabi and ginger, depending on your style of
eating. That would be bad. And the wasabi would make you sneeze. What else? What would be another bad time to sneeze during, I guess?
2020?
Know. Right?
Number one answer.
Is that going to be the thing now when everybody does get back and somebody sneezes and you don't, like, people, you're going to have to be so over the top when you cover, like, you're literally going to have, like, throw up a windscreen when you sneeze, right? When you're around people and you sneeze, are you going to feel comfortable not doing, going over the top? Imagine being a coach in the middle seat after this and sneeze.
Oh, that'd be horrible.
How much are you?
Is the,
like, are
is
you gonna,
the
wait, are you like this?
That's the question. Is the middle seat dead? Forget about the 5 second rule. Is the middle seat gone?
I don't know.
I looked for a flight today.
I can't see airlines giving up those seats.
I looked for a flight today that was regularly $500, $2,100. What's going on? I thought they were supposed to be cheap.
For a flight?
Yeah, Costa Rica.
Oh, God. And yeah.
You got a birthday coming up. I want to do something.
Any other bad times to sneeze? Come on.
How? I think we're all thinking it.
Travis, what do you think?
Yeah. He said during sex, which could bring us to our other story of that we had talked about this week on text message about the sex dolls.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the text message, the other text message that we got that we read this weekend.
I don't know about this.
Yeah, what happened? They put blow up dolls in the stands at a Korean baseball game?
It's crazy. Like, and the reason they got in trouble for it is because it's not a sanctioned sponsor. So they were saying they had signs with the names of the dolls. So that's why they got in trouble. They probably would have gotten trouble.
The names like
the company. The company who made them. Yeah, this is Cinnamon up here, and this is Veronica, and this
I get it. Look, where are you going to get fake people? Where are you going to get a lot of fake people on short notice? Right? That seems logical to me.
I just don't promote them, I guess.
Just don't promote them? Did they put them in like weird poses, or were they just like normal fans?
They were just normal fans.
Because I can understand if they had like, you know, legs behind their back and stuff like that. That's probably not a good idea. I mean, you could get
like mannequins, but blow-up dolls are probably cheaper.
That's what I said. Where are you going to get cheap fake people on the quick? Blow-up dolls.
Boom.
It was a great idea for a while.
Right? You know there are people that have used blow-up dolls to use the HOV lane. You know that's happened.
Right? You know what I did? Well, I didn't use a blow-up doll, but I put a baby seat, and then I took a child doll, put it in the car seat. Booyah.
Yeah.
Let's go. Speeding down. But now that I have a Tesla, I don't really need that anymore. I got the stickers.
Wow. We haven't talked about the Tesla in so long.
Yeah.
I feel like the missing.
Well, because isn't Elon Musk like leaving? Isn't he moving everything to Texas or something?
Texas, there's one other place. He's looking at two places. But I might be selling the Tesla. So anybody out there wants a really nice Tesla?
There's some lucky person out there in the world. It's going to get Joe Madrid's Tesla. It's Travis. Sell it to Travis.
I've been thinking about getting a Hyundai Santa Fe instead.
And I'll put my Range Rover tires on it.
It's already got tires.
Let's do it.
Bronze.
What's the asking price?
Whatever the payoff is.
I'm a gold man.
We'll work out a deal. We'll work out a deal offline. I'll broker the deal. Let's do it. This has been Good Calls with Dean Blandino. Please follow me on Twitter at Dean Blandino and Instagram at Dean.Blandino. Follow the show on Instagram and Twitter at Rules Podcast, and be sure to rate our podcast on the iHeartRadio app and on Apple Podcasts.
Good Calls with Dean Blandino is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.